everybody. Welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. I'm Angela Meyer. This is my co-host, Abby Peters.
Pew, pew, pew.
And today we are talking to @SpoiledCowgirls, a.k.a. Misty. And she is live with us on the phone right now. What is up, my lady?
Hola, chicas. How are you?
Good. We are so happy that you joined us today. I'm sure everybody that's listening to this already follows you. But in case they don't, can you just, like, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business?
Yes, I'm Misty Farnsworth, also known as @SpoiledCowgirls on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook @SpoiledCowgirls as well.
What all, is it silversmithing, jewelry making, like, what all do you do for your brand?
I'm a silversmith, so I do all sorts of jewelry making. You know, I bead quite a bit, so, that is also a thing I do, but mostly it's just metalwork, you know, silversmithing.
Badass.
Super cool. So how did you get into that?
Well, it all started back in 2010. I was at home, mother to a new baby girl, and staying at home and kind of going a little stir crazy, so I wanted to develop some kind of a hobby to keep me stimulated doing something other than just, you know, waiting for the baby to wake up. So I started beading, and did a lot of beading jewelry, and added pre-made pendants, you know, the big, what I refer to now is nasty, blingy, ugly pendants. You can see them from 2 miles away. And, you know, I just, when I first started, it was very satisfying, but I knew at some point I wanted to get to this level of some of these artists that you find out in the Southwest. You know, we're highly influenced by Native American jewelry because it's everywhere, and it's Southwest jewelry. And so ultimately I had this vision that I wanted to do this thing, but I had to start somewhere. And so that's how I started, was just, you know, beading simple things, you know, turquoise, bulky, chunky necklaces and things like that. And it just evolved over time, you know, so that's how it started.
That's amazing. And you're in Arizona, correct?
Yes, I'm in southern Arizona, about as far southeast you can get without actually being in Mexico.
Amazing.
Cool, super
amazing.
Cool.
So what does your process look like, which I'm sure has changed since you got started, but what is that process or kind of how you gather inspiration?
Well, you know, I live out in the desert and there is so much inspiration around me. I have a line that I refer to as Creatures of the Southwest, and it's just solely, you know, different critters you might see running around, a horny toad, a rattlesnake, you know, a roadrunner, just those things. So I draw inspiration a lot from my surroundings and where I live. Also, again, as I mentioned, there's a lot of that Native American inspiration down here, so I really draw a lot from that culture.
Why we aren't silversmiths, because we would be creating corn and possum skulls.
Would not be cute.
It wouldn't be the cute.
Maybe like an acorn, or I don't know.
Hashtag Midwest.
Yep. Oh, so it sounds like you incorporate a lot of different elements into each of your designs. You mentioned beadwork. You mentioned silversmithing, stones. On average, like any given piece, how many hours goes into making that? From the design to the fabrication to photographing to marketing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, from start to finish on something more simple, you know, I can sit down and crank out a pair of very simple studs at my bench in, you know, less than an hour, photograph it, post it onto my site and have it ready for sale all within an hour. That'd be something simple. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had pieces that I've done in the past that have taken me weeks and months to do, because there's, and this is where the appreciation of the craft has to come into play, because it's not like I'm not all over here buying all this and that. You know, some of my pieces are made top to bottom from scratch, and it is very labor intensive. So I've had pieces that have taken me, you know, months to do. And there's times where I will start a piece and, you know, set it off to the side because maybe something's not going right. Mm-hmm. So I want to just put it over here for a minute. So sometimes you got to factor that in. It takes a little bit of time to actually build a piece because it won't cooperate. So,
I get
you know,
that. Yeah.
Hours yeah. to weeks to months. So it just depends on the piece in itself.
Yeah. Like, we're both artists. I'm a music artist. Abby's a visual artist. And, like, you just sometimes have to set it aside and let it stew and think about what it did.
I think back to, like, paintings done, you know, like, in, you know, and you see it on the date on the bottom, and it's, like, a 10-year window, and you're like, what? And then you
I had to put this in time out for, like,
years. Yeah, yeah. You, like, see it, you hate it, you come back to it, you're like, I'm gonna try this one more time.
Yeah. I broke up with some jewelry in the past. I'm like, nope, you and I, we're not friends anymore. So.
Shameless question.
Of course.
I mean, your work is beautiful, but social media is its own animal. So how did you get so freaking popular? We're looking at currently 12,700 followers.
Woo! Influencer, where you at?
Influencers that are on, you know, social media. So I've had a lot of help that way. I have customers who I've, you know, I have a rapport with over years who share, you know, and consistency really helps. If you are constantly with your content, putting it out there, put it in your face, you know, I've got this, this is what I'm doing, and interact with people, you know, don't just like a heart, you know, or something like that. Interact and conversate with people. I found that to be very beneficial for myself because I love people. I love talking and hanging out with people. So interaction in itself on my part has been a big thing. And then, of course, I mean, insane positive feedback from people that I would consider to be like the influencers in the social media have helped tremendously.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool. And it's so true. I mean, as you were talking, I'm thinking, like, of course, if you're selling something in person or, you know, offering it, if somebody compliments it, you're not just going to stand there and, like, give them a little thumbs up.
Give them a heart sign.
Yeah. You're going to give them finger guns and walk away. So
you would.
I think we often lose that human piece when we sit behind a screen, so it makes so much sense. You know, to constantly be cultivating that with people.
Yes.
But at the same time, have you found, does that come with a price tag for you? Like, constantly putting your work out there and having it be so popular, are people seeing that and kind of taking advantage?
Well, you know what, it is kind of, I think this goes for everybody. We have our up days and our down days. There's days when you might kind of doubt yourself a little bit and go, you know, oh, somebody's, you know, this post only got so many likes, and you might go down on yourself, you know, because you're just like, we're just human, and that's just what we do, but, you know, I try very much to not let that kind of stuff get to me, you know, I'm getting older in my days, and so I try to, you know, steer clear of things that might bring wrinkles to my face, so.
Love that. I have to imagine, like, you've been probably knocked off and imitated and, like, I mean, tell us about that.
Rush, listen to that heavy sigh.
She's like, oh, God.
Yeah, big sigh. Anyways, you know, it's as it goes with anything that is aesthetically pleasing, somebody's going to come along and be like, oh, hey, I like that. Let's do it. And that, you guys are going to have to remind me because I'm going to go backwards here, is one of the reasons why I don't do customs anymore, because I've had so many people, you know, hundreds of messages a year come to me and be like, hey, can you make me this? And they send me a picture, and I'm like, that's so-and-so's. Why don't you have them make it for you? I just got tired of people coming to me because I have this certain ability and asking me to make things that someone else has made. So that's one of the reasons why I don't do customs anymore, because I just got tired of grandiose ideas and someone wanting me to recreate another artist's work. So yeah, so recently I was informed, and this is just 2 weeks ago, that a foreign company, I'm assuming it was a Chinese-based company, had gone in and taken my images, my descriptions, everything about my jewelry was on their site. They were just selling it for a ridiculous price. So I had to go at them kind of aggressively, and luckily I have so many friends and customers that have occupations where they can help me out. Like, I had a lawyer gal go, hey, hold on a minute, let me do this, that, and the other. And she emailed them, and we were pretty relentless at them for about a week, and then all of a sudden the site just completely vanished off the internet. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
yeah.
So I've had that happen. I've also had other individuals who do try to copy my pieces, but I've always felt that as an artist, you just got to stay one step ahead of the game, you know, and get that next thing. That's why I'm constantly evolving. I'm changing all the time. I'm not a machine, so I don't mass produce. I'm, you know, I like different, because repetitive makes me want to go to sleep.
And I think that's what makes it so challenging to be an artist in any form is that, yeah, like you touched on, people come to you with a project or an idea and think you'll do it just because you have a certain skill set, not understanding that, you know, you're constantly working to be original and to put a voice out there, and it can be exhausting.
Yes, it can be very exhausting, and that's, again, why I just, like I said, whatever we can do to keep Misty's face looking, you know, 30 versus door right now, I'm gonna go with that.
Push off that Botox, honey.
I can't quarantine.
your whiskey does about the same thing.
Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh. So what makes your brand so different from other, I mean, there's a million silversmiths out there, but when you look at your Instagram page, there's a certain flavor to it. There's a certain, like, I don't know, set of colors and, you know, all that stuff. What makes your brand so unique?
Well, you know, when I look at it, I just see myself in everything that I do. I actually physically put my heart and soul and blood into what I do, and so I appreciate it, and I try to push that out to my clientele or, you know, just followers in general. I'm not different than any other person on earth. The only thing is I just change it up a little bit, you know. I do what makes me feel good. It's honestly kind of selfish, but it is the truth.
But authenticity like that can't be replicated, and I think that really shines through, especially when you have these companies trying to take your work. Well, no, what it comes down to is that, you know, like you said, you put yourself into every piece you make.
Yes. And I strive for quality. You know, I tell people jokingly, you know, this jewelry is going to be around longer than you are. And I mean it, because I make things, you know, it's bad to think, but it's the truth. I make pieces that I expect will outlast your existence, basically, you know, because I pride myself in what I do. And when somebody sees my name stamped on the back or my brand on the box, there's that very first piece you're going to know once you open it and put it onto your body, man, this is actually really good stuff, you know? And so I pride myself in the fact that I don't, you know, hustle to make millions of dollars on cheap, junky crud. I'm actually, you know, trying to give you an heirloom quality piece that you can maybe give to your daughter and pass down the line, you know?
Oh, I love that.
So powerful.
Yeah. Well, and how cool, too, that it's really been here a lot longer than any of us have combined to begin with, because it's all, you know, elements of the earth. Mm. And so, so cool, like, for us getting more into the more metaphysical meaning of all of it and the spiritual meaning behind all of it. It's so neat that you can pour yourself into these things and people can enjoy them forever.
I love doing it, and I love that I have people that love what I do and appreciate it. And, you know, you can just feel it, you know, like you're saying, there is a certain energy that I transfer into there and to you, you know, as the person wearing it. And that's why I always say, call it jewelry that empowers, because it does. It makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you're healthy. When you're healthy, you know, we're good to go. So
amazing.
Oh my gosh. I wish this is on video. We're just sitting here with our hands on our hearts, like,
oh my
just,
like, gosh. Speaking our love language right now. So with that, then, like, it sounds like you kind of consider yourself a keeper of this kind of sacred craft. What would your advice be to people who are looking to get into silversmithing, for example, or looking to get into what you do?
Well, first off, you've got to love doing it, first of all, because it's very tedious work. You've got to enjoy the craft, first off, and then just find what is passionate to you, you know? Draw from yourself, not everything that everyone else around you is doing so much. I love that people can draw inspiration from others, and I highly recommend it because nothing truly is original. We've got to get inspiration from each other mm-hmm. in order to make things, you know? But find it in yourself to, you know, draw out what you love.
Picasso, I think, who said art is theft.
Yeah.
It's so true. Absolutely, and that's the thing, you know, we call it drawing inspiration, but he nailed it. It is theft because, again, there's not really too many things that's original ideas anymore. They're already pretty much taken up. You just got to put a little twist on it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you look at, you know, somebody coming after you, what you're doing, or copying, or stealing a design or something as fuel to make yourself one step ahead and that much better and that much more inspired, and that puts like a fire in your gut. Have you always felt that way, or was it like disheartening at first? Because I know for myself, I would just feel crushed if I had my design stolen.
Yeah, you know, and it is, there's that moment inside yourself where you're just like, oh, why do I even do this? You know, seriously. And, but you've got to rise up to the occasion, you know, grab the bull by the horns and let's rock and roll and do something cool.
So how would you say, any advice to makers or shop owners, boutique owners, et cetera, that are trying to establish their own creative voice while they're seeing so much inspiration in the Western industry? And really, you know, what's your advice for them trying to build their own unique brand?
Well, again, it's going to all boil down to having your product just put in, you know, out there. You've got to be consistent and just, you know, hustle, hustle, hustle. That's what it's all about, you know. Don't doubt yourself, because if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it for you, you know? You're your best, you know, you are your number one cheerleader, supporter, you know. Just do it and do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, nobody will work harder for your brand than you will.
Exactly. That is the truth. Nobody will. So you just got to get that hustle and, you know,
Yes. Another question for you. This is personal. When and where can we meet you? We've known each other for years.
technically, yes, because that was 2019.
That was 2019.
So this is 2020.
Good Lord, it was eons ago. But yeah, I intend, if you know, the Rona herself.
Yeah, gets, she calms down.
You know, on out of here.
She's got a shot to take a deep breath.
But yeah, I need to boogie her ass. At the RFWA Expo again this year.
Oh, good.
It'll
good.
Be their third year doing the event, and it's been such a great experience, that whole expo. And I'm gonna just promote it real quick for them, because
absolutely.
That's
yes,
definitely
please do.
That's where the makers, you know, this is where USA comes together.
Yeah,
and sells to the masses. It is amazing. So RFWA NFR 2020, let's hope that happens.
Let's freaking go. Okay, well, right on. So people can find your work there. Not if, we're going to say when that
when
happens.
When it happens.
When, yes.
You're on Instagram at Spoiled Cowgirls with a Z.
ZZZ.
Yes.
And your online shop, where do they find you?
You can find me on Etsy at www.spoiledcowgirls.wj.etsy.com. Very long, but if you go to Etsy and type in Spoiled Cowgirls, it will be the first thing that pops up.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Because I feel like we might be getting online as soon as we sign off with
you.
So.
Oh, that's another. I don't do like a lot of, we're going to drop this big update this day. I do it like, oh, I made this, let's put it on there today.
I love that.
So people need to be on their toes and constantly checking in, is what I'm hearing you say.
Just maybe daily.
Yeah, girls, men, buying for their ladies,
Beautiful.
And Mother's Day is coming up. I mean,
yes,
now is the time.
And yes, everyone should know their mama called me.
Amazing.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. Your mama wants spoiled cowgirls jewelry, so get to getting.
Gift ideas. Well, Misty, thank you so much for joining us today on the Breaking Western podcast. It was such a fun time talking to you. I'm so glad we've already met. I can't wait to meet again.
Now that we're all, like, aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it was so good, girls. Thank you so much for having me. It was real fun talking with you guys, and we'll do it again soon.
Perfect. Thanks, girl.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Breaking Western podcast today. You can find me, Angela Meyer, 23, on Instagram, and Abby at Abby from Iowa.